Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Amen. This morning's text is taken from a brief portion of Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. This is the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear friends, old people, like me, tend to look back on childhood as a time of happiness and simplicity. But children themselves usually see that differently, don't they? Kids generally can't wait to grow up so that they can have more responsibility and do more fun things. We disparage childhood in other ways, don't we? When a person does something we consider foolish, we often say, "When are you going to grow up? Don't be so childish." But there's one area in life where it's good to be childish, or more properly speaking, childlike, and that's the kingdom of God. Jesus' words in our text for today reveal that not only are children included in God's kingdom of grace, but that only children can enter it. Consider with me the words of our Lord, "Of such is the kingdom of God." This was the occasion, you may recall, when Jesus' disciples were rebuking a group of mothers who were trying to bring their children to him for his blessing. And the Lord, in turn, rebuked his disciples. He said, "Of such is the kingdom of God. Suffer them to come unto me." But he goes even further. He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." That was something else again. Jesus said that not only are children admitted to the kingdom, but nobody but children can be admitted. You have to be a child to be saved. Of course, that doesn't mean you have to be 4 feet tall and under the age of 10, but it does mean you need to have a faith that is childlike. Jesus said you have to receive the kingdom of God as a little child. And how does a little child receive things? Let's think about that for a minute. Well, a child receives things with simple acceptance. The kingdom of God is only for those with a child's acceptance. When a little child asks his parents what a giraffe is or how an automobile works, and they explain it to them, they accept it. For a child, the test of truth is very simple. If mom and dad said it, then it must be true. When parents tell their children about Jesus, how Jesus was born in a manger, lived and died for them so that they could live in heaven with him one day, they accept that as true. For us older people, a childlike faith means that we receive the truths about salvation in pretty much the same way. Not because we have scientific proof for it, certainly not because it makes logical sense to us. Much of what God tells us in his word makes no logical sense at all. And the best example of that is the gospel itself. The idea that God would sacrifice his perfect innocent son in order to save filthy sinners like you and me, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? Still, we believe it. In the same way a little child believes what his father tells him. We believe it because our heavenly Father says it's true. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A childlike faith accepts the wonder of the gospel simply because his heavenly Father says so. Further, the kingdom of God is only for those with a child's humility. Can you imagine a child refusing to eat the food that his parents provided for him because he didn't have a hand in getting it? Of course not. A two-year-old doesn't attempt to pay his parents for his food. He accepts it from them gratefully, simply because he needs it, he's hungry for it, and they're the only ones who are going to provide it for him. But so many adults will reject the grace of God unless they feel like they can provide some wretched good works in exchange. Well, they're ignoring the word of God, which says, "By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." They're too proud to admit that they need forgiveness, that they're hungry for it, and that Jesus is the only one who can provide it. Let's you and I come to our Savior with childlike humility, realizing our natural helplessness and trusting in His precious blood and righteousness to atone for our complete forgiveness. Finally, the kingdom of God is only for those with a child's trust. When a father picks up his infant daughter and tosses her up into the air, she laughs and enjoys it. Why? Because she trusts her father. She has faith in him. Even though she finds herself 8 feet off the ground with no visible means of support, she's not frightened because she has faith in her father. That's the kind of childlike faith your Heavenly Father wants you to have in Him. And you need to have that kind of faith because between here and Judgment Day, you're going to find yourself in some perilous situations that would be very frightening if you had no Heavenly Father to put your trust in. You're going to find yourself many times 8 feet off the ground with no visible means of support and a very painful impact coming up fast. But with a child's trust, you can set your mind at ease. Your Heavenly Father is always there, and as Professor Sullivan is wont to remind us, underneath are the everlasting arms. His loving hands are well prepared to catch you before ever you fall. You can have courage, come what may. In the 51st Psalm, God gives us some disaster emergency instructions that are as simple as they are effective. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. There are advantages to being a child, especially to being God's child. For how can God fail to provide for his own children? Paul asks, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He already gave the big thing for you, his son Jesus. He's going to give you everything else you need as well. Yes, that forgiveness was costly, but God paid. And this is ironic because that kingdom, the kingdom that's for children, God acquired that kingdom at the price of his own child's life. His only begotten son he sent down the road of sorrows to suffer for us on the cross. And by his suffering, you and I are cleansed. Don't you love that scriptural picture of cleansing? What a blessed truth. What a comfort for our daily walk. When the stress and anxiety of life are getting the better of you, it's good to keep in mind the blessed cleansing that God has given you in Christ. The regional insurance center where I used to work in Tacoma, Washington, had the same policy many businesses have nowadays. We weren't allowed to display any religious items on our desk, cross, Bible passages, nothing like that. But I had a friend who was a Christian who kept a bottle of Whiteout on his desk right in front of him every day. You know, the correction fluid that you use to cover up errors. No one had ever noticed or object to that. But he noticed it. He said that every time he looked at it, it reminded him of Jesus. It reminded him of how the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And Jesus' blood truly does erase sin in the sense that it provides complete atonement for sin and deletes it from the record. In God's eyes, the blood of his son renders you as white and pristine and clean as his son Jesus himself. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You hear it every day, people asking that age-old question, when are you going to grow up? Isn't it a comfort to know that when it comes to the most important part of your life, your membership in that kingdom of Christ, God doesn't expect you to be a grown-up. He allows you and encourages you to be a child. When it comes to trusting and believing our Heavenly Father, let us all be children, for of such is the kingdom of God. Amen. We conclude this morning with hymn 605.